when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
My name is Eddie L. Miller, a.k.a. The Bombardier. This is the 15th of June, the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Almighty, 2024. As we always say, there is no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. People, that bagpipe music, if you listened last week, this program is going to be pretty much, there's going to be a lot similar to last week because, as you well know, if you've been listening to Blood River Radio, this is United States Ship Liberty Month. United States Ship Liberty was attacked 1 year ago, a week ago, Saturday, on June the 8th of 1967. The USS Liberty was mercilessly attacked by the outlaw apartheid state of Israel. Those Israelis tried everything in their power, with all the power they could get from Satan. They tried to sink that ship. And people, guess what? They were in full league with the wonderful government of the precious United States. Lyndon Baines Johnson, may his soul rest in hell, was in on it. Defense Secretary Robert McNamara, may his soul rest in hell. They were in on it. They tried with everything in their power to sink that ship. We, as long as Blood River Radio is in existence, June will always be United States Ship Liberty Veterans Memorial Month. That may vary some next week, but we, and this week is a little different from last week, because we have two more veterans from the USS Liberty. We were supposed to have four, but my brother Ron, Phil Torney called it. He's just so exhausted. He told me to tell his brothers that are on, and who are his brothers? We have Ron Kukal on. He was on last week. We also have our brother Larry Bowen and Mickey LeMay. They were, all three of those heroes were on board the United States Ship Liberty. That day, that was the real day in infamy. It was not December 7th of 41. It was June the 8th of 1967. That's the most shameful day in the history of the United States as far as all of us are concerned. Well, people, I've got that out of the way. One thing, we did not announce the donors last week. We have to this week. And it really is a labor of love, because without our donors and our listening people, we could not remain on the air, because the airtime is very expensive. Anyway, and here's who we're honoring from last week and this week. We have Jay-Z, brother Jay-Z, from Blood River Radio Zone AZ. He was Purple Heart wounded, one of my brothers. He was Army. He was wounded in Vietnam. He has a Purple Heart in the limp and the scars to approve it. God bless you, Jay-Z. It was so great to see you in South Carolina 3 weeks ago. Anyway, also, we have Old Biscuit, my brother. He's a big boy. He dwarfs me, but he's much younger. Old Biscuit from Gatorland, Florida. Thank you so much, Jay-Z and Biscuit. And also, Sister Janice, she's belongs to Rich Hamblin. Rich Hamblin's the guys you well know I rode to Charlottesville with back in August of 2017, did my first job as a field reporter there. So Janice sent in her donation. We also have Sister Pam and Brother Dennis Adams. They sent a donation. And we have Hank the Sasquatch. His came just today. Thank you so much, all y'all. Thank you, Jay-Z and Biscuit and Janice and Pam and Dennis and Sasquatch. Hank the Sasquatch. And also Seth, one-time donor. Send it in. That's how it is. Anyway, people, we have to honor the donors, because without the donors, we could not have a USS Liberty month. We could not have a Dresden month. We could not do that. So anyway, so that's what we're doing. Now we got the business out. What we're going to do, the sailors, the veterans of USS Liberty are going to be on. If they can hold out, we've got them scheduled for 2 hours. Our sister Nancy, the bell cow, is going to come in and take over the third hour. She's going to work with me the third hour. But that's how it's up. And so what we're going to do now, people, before we go to the prayer, our brother Ron Kukal, we consider him the chaplain, the service chaplain. And, you know, we were all military on this show, on this broadcast. But he's going to go, he's going to take us in prayer. But first, before we go in prayer, I'll tell you what, we'll do the prayer. As soon as we come back from prayer, we'll introduce our other two brothers, and then we'll take off in any way Ron wants to go. So go ahead, Ron, if you will. Lead us in the Blood River Radio prayer, and then if you want to, you can say additional prayer for our 34 departed brothers who were killed that day. So go ahead, Brother Ron.
Heavenly Father, as we look back to the 57 years ago, a little over, of the unsurmountable odds we faced, I don't know how anyone could come to any other conclusion that it was you who saved the Liberty. And I believe it, and I know most of the men believe it. The unsurmountable odds were a torpedo that it exploded before it got to the center ship, and so it didn't break it in half. It just left a big 40 by 30 something foot hole on the side. The unsurmountable odds were they had everything they needed to put us to the bottom, and they couldn't do it. So how could we ever come to any other conclusion, Lord, than you were there with us? And I'm very hopeful, Lord, that my book that I'm going to write, called Standing in the Midst of Miracles, will transpire before my time is up on this earth. I lift up not only the men who died, the 34 men who died, but today, if I could talk, Lord, a little bit about the females, the wives, the sisters that were behind all this, that had to put up with it when we came home, of the oath.
Brother Ron,
I
have to
call in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you. Hey, you did it just right. We've got to go to a break, and I apologize. I didn't manage that quite right. Dear Blood River Radio family, we'll be right back after this quick break. So hold on to your seats.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. With that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly? Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear Blood River Radio family, listen, if you will, kind of take your hat off, bow your head. What we're going to do, we're not going to read every single name of the same. We're just going to say this. We're playing Taps, which is a time honor that's been around since the Union and the Confederacy both used Taps to honor their dead when they were being buried. So we're not going we're not going to read every single name, but we're just going to play Taps and we're going to play from beginning to end, and just to think of the dead sailors and all the dead veterans that paid the final price, the greatest price, the greatest sacrifice, but especially for the veterans of United States Ship Liberty, because this is United States Ship Liberty Month. So what's what we're going to do? We're going to play Taps right now. So go ahead, Miss Lizzie. Thank you so much, Miss Lizzie. People, that once again, just to repeat myself, this is United States Ship Liberty Month. This is the second week of Memorial to United States Ship Liberty. It will vary some next week. But listen, all the veterans that are left on the USS Liberty, there's not very many of them because they're all, you know, advancing in age now. And some of them have bad affirmities. We have with us tonight, we have one sailor who was with the Liberty who happened to have a surgery last Monday. And even though he told me he would be ready to go today, I thought, well, we'll see because he may be in a lot of pain. But anyway, and that person we're talking about right now is Larry Bowen. How are you doing tonight, Larry?
Hey, I'm doing fine. The surgery went well. I'm on the road to recovery, and I've got a new right knee, so everything's good.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, I tell you what, I hope you're able to go. We have slated 2 hours if y'all can go for 2 hours. Also, we have another fella, and I'm not sure if Mickey has ever been on our program, but this Mickey LeMay was also a veteran of the USS Liberty, and he was there that day. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Mickey?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking. And Larry, glad to hear the good news.
Thanks, Mickey. Appreciate it.
Okay, buddy.
Well, listen, like I say, since we got three guys tonight, I'm going to let, since Ron's on before, he can help me kind of coordinate which way we're going to go. But I tell you what, Ron, Larry, why don't you, if you could, give the people a description of what happened, to the best of your knowledge, best of your memory, what happened that day, June the 8th, 1967, when you were on board the USS Liberty. Tell everything you can think of that you would like, that you think is noteworthy, is important, that might be emotional for you. What happened that day, Larry, for the people who've never heard of the USS Liberty and who never heard of that attack? So go ahead, Larry.
Okay. That morning, I was sitting in position in Radio Research 1. Position was, you know, copying international Morse code. I was an E5 cryptologic technician radioman. And my day watch was pretty typical, except at about 10 a.m., I started getting some unique comms. And I wasn't sure exactly what it was, but I was told by the people over in our processing and reporting center to keep copying it. So we were getting information about a planned attack on a target, but the target wasn't identified. At 11:30, I went to a chow break with my buddy from the Processing and Reporting Center, Bob Eisenberg. And Bob says, Larry, what you're copying is really hot stuff. Stay on it. We'll, he told me about the target, what he could, just the fact that there was a target that was going to be attacked. Sounded like it was going to be a concentrated effort by three different elements of the IDF. So I don't know if that word got passed up to the skipper or not, but after chow break, the skipper held a drill general quarters. And when he calls the general quarters, everybody stops what they're doing. They're going to the general quarters station. And everyone on board is, you know, awake and motivated to participate in whatever the drill happened to be. That was a chemical warfare drill that he held, and it lasted for about an hour. I think it ended at about 12:45 in the afternoon or 12:45 hours. And the next thing we heard after a brief return back to normal operations was prepare for general quarters. This is not a drill. We were under attack by unidentified aircraft, and the skipper, again, made sure that everybody was alert and at their designated duty stations for general quarters. What that meant for me was, instead of being down in the Radio Research 1 compartment where I was during the day, I moved up one deck to another position, doing the same job that I was doing down below, but I was just, you know, fortunately for me, one level higher than I was previously. The general quarters was just in time. The skipper said we were under attack by unidentified aircraft, and they immediately started strafing and sending rockets into our antennas, our gun tubs, and any portholes that they could find. They were trying to put holes everywhere in the ship above the waterline, so that when the Navy came in to finish us off with their torpedoes, the ship would go down. But for all intents and purposes, I was just doing my job that day, and had the cover of the inside being inside the ship's hull. Mickey LeMay was external. He was on the 04 level, so he saw the airplanes coming in and mentioned it to one of the officers that was up there with him. I'll let Mickey talk about that.
Sure. Go ahead, Mickey. So,
all that Larry had mentioned, and I was going up to the old 04 level. My job was the electrician's mate, E5, like Larry. I was responsible for supplying electricity to the ship. And I was on my way to the 04 level to check out the carbon arc searchlight we have up there. And as I got to the 04 level, which means four decks above the main deck, it was just really a platform. It wasn't a real deck. And as I got to the top, I saw a fighter flying the same way we were. And it was unmarked. And he was low enough that I could have waved to him. And I know he would have waved back. We were that close. And as I got there, I turned around. There was a lieutenant that was responsible for recording any plane that came by us. And I turned to him and I said, "Sir, did you see that fighter?" And he goes, "No, where?" And I walked closer to him. And as I turned to point to the jet that I saw, the first strafing started from bow to stern diagonally across the ship. And myself and the officer were hit. I turned and looked at him, and he had blood coming out of all of his body like I did.
Wow.
And we looked each other in the eye, and I said, "Well, I'm getting the heck out of here." I ran to the ladder, slid down like you see in the movie, didn't hit a rung, ran into the ship, and there was glass everywhere. And at that time, I guess my body realized that my left leg had been shattered and I couldn't stand anymore. Later on, they did find the officer dead up there, but when I saw him, he was still standing, and I thought he followed me, but he didn't.
Mickey, we've got to take a commercial break. We have to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back to you, Mickey. Hold that thought as soon as we're over this break. Okay. Dear Blood River Radio listeners, we'll be right back. Dear family.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. Attorney General Merrick Garland will not be prosecuted by the DOJ after the House voted to hold him in contempt. The vote followed the DOJ's refusal to turn over audio recordings of President Biden's interview about his handling of classified documents. Special Counsel Robert declined to prosecute Biden, citing potential jury sympathy for him as an elderly man with poor memory, sparking political controversy. The leader of Florida is worried about Russian ships being so close to his state. John Schaefer has more.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has expressed concern over the presence of Russian warships just 90 miles away in Cuba.
They are not going to be deterred by weakness. They're not going to be deterred by confusion. They're not going to be deterred by a president wandering around aimlessly at the G7.
DeSantis said that Russia's military activities in Cuba are alarming and blames the Biden administration's perceived stance of weakness for the situation.
The Supreme Court has delayed a decision on Trump's claims of presidential immunity. No ruling was issued yesterday, but a decision may come on June 20th. The case affects some of Trump's pending cases, including his alleged attempts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. President Biden is meeting privately with Pope Francis in Italy. Following Francis' historic address at the G7 summit, the Pope will also meet privately with other leaders, including Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky and French President Emmanuel Macron. Southern wildfires are causing hazy skies and poor air quality in parts of the U.S. Unlike recent summers, Canadian wildfires are not to blame. Fires in the southern U.S. and Mexico are affecting air quality as far north as Nebraska and Iowa, and east to Connecticut and Massachusetts. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure ground burgers are made from single cuts of real aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we were talking with Mickey LeMay during the break. He has an amazing story. The whole thing about the Liberty was just like one huge God thing, a miracle. I don't know any other way to say it. But anyway, Mickey has a unique story and a miracle to tell you. So with that, Mickey, go ahead, brother, and just start anywhere you want to and tell it any way you want to tell it.
Well, I truly believe in divine intervention, that's for sure. I was a 125-pound sailor that could eat anybody under the table and never gain an ounce of weight. I weighed, like I said, 125 pounds when we started the cruise before the cruise the ship was attacked on. And me and another skinny sailor decided to go down to the gym and work out. Now, I was never a person that liked the free weights. I was more of a gymnast type of a person. But for some reason, that cruise, we decided to go down and work out. And at the beginning, I weighed 125 pounds. I could bench press 80 pounds 10 times, 3 repetitions. At the end of the cruise, which was 3 months, I weighed 160 pounds, bench pressing 214 pounds at sea 10 times, 3 repetitions. And if I hadn't done that, and I was still on board, I would have never survived, because when the attack happened, I ended up losing 85 pounds before I started to gain weight again. That means I went from 160 to 75 pounds.
Damn.
And for some reason, I worked out the cruise before, and it saved my life. I was 100% disabled for 5 years. I had my left knee shattered, part of my intestines removed, and I still carry around 52 pieces of shrapnel inside me today. And the reason there's still 52 in there is when I was in, I went from the America to Naples, Italy, the Naval Hospital, and that was like a month later, a month and a half later, and when the doctor was trying to remove the shrapnel, I had 4 cardiac arrests, and they decided to leave them in and only remove them if they ended up ever causing me a problem. And luckily for me, they have not.
That is incredible. So you have, how many pieces did you say, 52 pieces of shrapnel?
52 pieces still in me, yes.
Wow, that's just, I can't even hardly compute that. And the cardiac, so it has to be in some pretty deep places. If not in your vital organs, near enough to them to cause your body to go into cardiac arrest.
Right, but I was lucky enough that it didn't damage any of them, that I'm still alive today. And I've lived a good life. I've been able to do anything I've ever wanted any time. I will be 80 years old in November, so for an 80-year-old guy, I'm in pretty good shape.
Go ahead, Larry.
No, I'm just, God bless Mickey. I mean, he, like he said, he was the second most severely wounded after the attack. And he went through a number of major operations. And Mickey, weren't you sent to Bremerhaven, Germany?
Yeah, I went from the America to Naples. I spent a month and a half, on America. Then I went to Naples for about the same amount of time. And then they sent me to the Germany hospital, the Army hospital, yes. And that was interesting because they brought me in and they put me in this ward where there were probably 20 beds, but there were 15 Vietnam veterans, injured veterans that were there. And within 3 minutes, they put me on a gurney, called me to a private room. Some officer came in and ordered to me that your name is Smith, and if anybody ever asks you about the Liberty, you know nothing. That was the only hush-up I ever had about it. The crew got a lot worse. Larry and Ron can tell you about what the admiral told those guys. But I was ordered not to talk about the Liberty.
Now, do you remember what officer that was that told you that, Mickey?
No, he was an Army officer. That's all I think I remember.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's so the damn Army was in on it, too. Well, so before we go to Larry, were there any threats, either overt or veiled threats, that what would happen to you if you did say anything about that, about the Liberty?
Yeah, when we were on the ship, Admiral Kidd came on board and dressed down the crew, wanted to hear exactly what we saw, what we did, and he took little pods of individuals. I was on the 01 level aft with Mo Schaefer and a couple of other CTs when he came back to our group and was talking about what would happen if we ever talked about this. He threatened us not to talk to our family, friends, girlfriends, wives, relatives, especially not the news. Said that we could be fined, imprisoned, and or both. And, you know, the hush-up began before we ever got to Malta. So, I mean, it was that they came on board the ship immediately and started passing the word that nobody was to say anything.
You know, this isn't my first time to hear that, but it's still, no matter how many times you hear that story, you never get over it. I never get over the shock of that. When I know your memory may have faded some, but it probably has not faded that much. When you heard that, I think we said last week, Kidd was 4-star, wasn't he?
I believe he was, yes.
When you heard that coming from a man who's supposed to be, even if he was, you know, almost as high as you can get in the military, a 4-star officer, Admiral General, what have you, somebody who's supposed to be representing your country, the nation you were born in, the country that you were born in, the country that you've given your life for, very well could have given your life for that day, and people like Mickey did come within a hair of giving his life, and they're threatening you like that. I know this may be kind of I'm not trying to be theatrical or dramatic, but what kind of, for our listeners, I know you had to be a young kid then, Larry, what was your first impression? Were you in shock? Do you remember? Or what was your first impression? How did you sum that up? How did you size that officer up, that Admiral Kidd, and what was your overall impression of what the hell was going on? Just what the hell did he mean? What was going on? Give us your view of that, Larry.
Well, I was in shock, as I think we all were still. And when he said that we weren't to talk about it, I couldn't understand what we did that made it so wrong for us to be able to talk about the attack. Initially, we didn't know who was doing the attacking, and it wasn't until the torpedo boats came up that we saw the Star David, the flags flying on the aircraft or on the torpedo boats, that we actually knew that that's who was doing the attacking. And, you know, I mean, one, he's a 4-star admiral. You're going to follow orders. I was an E-5. You know, I do what I'm told. In fact, we were told never to talk about it, and I repressed that for over 50 years before I finally came out and started talking about, you know, my side of the story and what I heard and what I saw, what I did that day. And, I mean, that was just a few years ago. So, but I was still working for the government. So I had to maintain my clearances, and I wasn't going to jeopardize my career for saying something out of school. Not that I knew that I was telling anything that nobody else knew. It's just that I, you know, I wanted to be sure that I wasn't going to get in any trouble for what I might have saw or did that day. And the Admiral was pretty bold. I mean, he was pretty livid about not having us say anything. And I know when he talked with Phil Turney and that group,
Larry, hold that thought, brother. Please do not lose that train of thought. We have to go to our final break of the first hour, but we're going. We've got another hour to go, so we will be right back. Be right back, dear Blood River Radio family.
Treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, the time is flying like it always does. It's really flying tonight. This is the last segment of the first hour, but don't worry. These heroes, these three sailors that were on the veterans of the United States Ship Liberty, when they were attacked June the 8th of 1967 by our best, our only ally in the Middle East, Israel. May that country rest in hell. But anyway, so Larry, we'll go back to you. You were telling us about what happened, how you were in shock. I'm sure your crew members were in shock. I mean, some of you guys are probably 17, 18, 20 years old. You know, I was real young when I got drafted. So, and you, like you said, somebody said earlier, your brain was still developing. You haven't reached really full adulthood. So go back and tell us, if you can remember, where you take up where you left off before we went to that break, Larry. And once I want to tell people, like I told during the break, we're not doing this for trying to be dramatic, theatrical. We want you to know the entirety of the suffering from the, as soon as the damn planes start and the ships, torpedo boats tried to sink the Liberty, the physical, the incredible physical damage to people like Mickey LeMay. I can't imagine being that tore up that bad. And I worked in, I'm trauma certified. Anyway, but once it, the psychological, the mental, it's caused divorce, it's caused alcoholism in people, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, I just wanted to give that as kind of like a frame of reference of why we're doing this. What we want to get as graphic as possible. So go ahead, Larry, finish your story, brother.
All right. Well, I was talking about the fact that Admiral Kidd came on board went to the 01 level aft and was talking with several of us CTs, Mo Schaefer, myself, and several others, and told us to never talk about the incident. Said it's, you know, we could be fined, imprisoned, or both, and that we just weren't to talk about it to anyone. And I know Phil Turney and several of his shipmates were in a separate room when Admiral Kidd came in, took his collar devices off, laid them on the table, and said, okay, now I'm the same as you, just one of you. Just tell me what you saw and what you heard. And so they did. They opened up just like they should. And then the Admiral put his collar devices back on and says, if you ever say one word about what you just told me, I'll personally see that you go to prison or fined or worse. And I know that shook Phil to the core. And I'm sure the rest of them in the room felt the same way. It felt like you were being betrayed by your own country. And I, for one, didn't understand what it was that we knew or what happened that that we shouldn't be talking about. When I got back home to go ahead.
I want to say that I know three very close shipmates that shut down to the world because of the fear of what Admiral Kidd said that day.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all.
And I understand, Larry, that the only reason why us enlisted even started talking is that the admiral that spoke to the commissioned officers on ship only swore them the secrecy to the day he died. And 15 years later, when he died, that's when Ennis came out with the book, and we finally started talking. I figured that if the officers can talk, we can too.
Sure.
Isn't that true? I think that's pretty much true why we ended up talking and getting that first reunion together.
Yep, because the book came out in late 79 or early 1980, and and then we had our reunion. And that's when we established the Liberty Veterans Association.
Right, and I went to that reunion, and I know when I walked into the hall, there wasn't one guy that thought I was going to live. You should have seen their faces when they saw me alive. It was just amazing. I'm sorry.
No, I know how you feel, Mickey, and it's we thank God you're still alive and still with us and still participating in these reunions. I went back.
Yeah, I'd have been to the last. I would have been to the last one, but I had a grandson graduating, so I had to go to that, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Well, I went back to the fantail. I was a phone talker after Larry Weaver got shrapnel and shot up pretty bad. Jeff Carpenter, a first-class CT, came by and saw me getting a breath of fresh air and said, Bowen, go back in the fantail, be phone talker. And, I mean, talk about scared. My legs were like rubber. So I went, you know, crawling back to the fantail, trying to get my headphones on and get communications with the bridge. But I saw the torpedo boats when they were coming back for their second run.
Damn.
And, the aircraft that I thought was, you know, a plane actually turned out to be one of the helicopters with the Marines on board.
That's a great point. I wanted to ask you, sailors, about. We had a guest on last week who joined me. He wasn't a sailor. He's a friend of mine. Been a friend of mine for years. He made a statement. I was really amazed how he would have to ask this question. I'm going to frame the question with a brief statement. Now, it's documented that the IDF, the Air Force and the Navy of the IDF, tried everything in their power to sink that ship. Also, I was told, this is the second sailor who's told me, Larry just told me, I believe you said the helicopters with Marines. Phil Torrey said he was on deck. He, with his own eyes, saw so close you could see Israeli commandos smiling. They were in a helicopter. They were sitting down with the full intention, and they had weapons, you know, automatic, semi-automatic, you know, weapons. And their intention was, no doubt their intention, there was to kill every survivor on board that ship. And then, and I'm just asking you to anytime I'm wrong, Larry, you guys butt in and tell me and correct me. But also, if somebody did escape on a life preserver or a life raft, they were going to shoot holes in the life raft. And I know I can prove that because to this day, the outlaw state of Israel has they're so arrogant about it. They have a life raft, a rubber raft, life raft that with holes in it, in a museum in Israel. It's kind of like an arrogant trophy. So am I right, Larry and Mickey and Ron, in saying they intended not only to sink that ship, but to kill every single member, Navy, Marine, to the bottom of the ocean where no one could ever tell what happened. I mean, there was no mistake about what their full intention of Israel was to kill everybody on that ship. Am I right or wrong, Larry? Mickey?
No, you're telling the truth. The strafing runs that were done early on put holes in every bulkhead, every door, watertight door, and they just perforated the entire ship with holes, so that when the torpedo boats came and launched their five torpedoes, if one or two of those torpedoes had hit, we would have all been, sent to the bottom of the Mediterranean. Fortunately for us, one of the miracles was the fact that the one torpedo that hit on a crossbeam frame 51 and detonated before it got to the middle of the ship. And so it killed 21 or 25 of my shipmates immediately, but it saved 260 of us.
God almighty. So, and all told, there were 34 killed. Isn't that right, guys? Men?
Right.
Right.
34 now, killed now that day.
Go ahead, Mickey.
Something hasn't been mentioned yet about the two times that the American Saratoga sent planes to our aid and they were called back by Washington.
Yes.
You might have said that some other time, but I haven't heard that today.
No, we have not. And listen, we'll be going to a break very soon, and it'll be a long break because we'll be transitioning to our second hour. And I definitely want to cover that. I'll try to keep them cussing and crying when we cover that. But I'd want to cover that. We need to cover that. The world needs to hear that. The world needs to hear how you guys had to go down in the bowels of that ship after with wade water and pull up body parts. But now I'm going to shut up. I want the world to hear that. Well, there comes the break. I was telling you guys about Dear brother sailors, we've got to go to our break. Dear brother listeners, our listening Blood River Radio family, please don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with these three heroes from United States Ship Liberty. Be right back, folks. Go get some coffee. It's a long break.